Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 9, Brahma's prayers for creative energy, text 30.
Bhuyas
Tvam
Tapa
Atishtha
Vidyam
Chaiva
Madashrayam
Tabhyam
Antar
Ridi
Brahman
Lokan
Drakshashi
Apabritan.
Bhuyastvam tapatishtha
Vidyam chaiva madashrayam
Tabhyam antaridi brahman
Lokan drakshasyapabritan
Bhuyastam tapatishtha
Vidyam chaiva madashrayam
Tabhyam antaridi brahman
Lokan drakshasyapabritan
Bhuyastam tapatishtha
Vidyam chaiva madashrayam
Tabhyam antaridi brahman
Lokan drakshasyapabritan Yourself.
Tapaha,
penance,
Atishtha,
be situated,
Vidvam,
in the knowledge,
Cha,
also,
Eva,
certainly,
Mat,
Mai,
Mai.
Ashrayam,
Ashrayam,
under the protection,
Tabhyam,
by those qualifications, Antaha, within, Ridhi, in the heart,
Brahman,
O Brahmana,
Lokan,
all the worlds,
Drakshasi,
you will see,
Apabritan,
all disclosed. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principle of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. Please repeat after me. O Brahma,
O Brahma,
situate yourself, in penance and meditation,
and follow the principles of knowledge
to receive my favor.
By these actions,
you'll be able to understand everything
from within your heart.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mercy of the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him that when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. The directions were to come from within, and there was no necessity for anxiety in that task. Such instructions of Buddhi Yoga are directly imparted by the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10.10. Which is the verse of Bhagavad Gita 10.10? Very good. How many of you knew this verse? Raise your hands. Okay, very good. So bhuyastang tapo atishta vidyang chaiva madashrayam tabham antah ridhi brahman lokan draksha sapabritan lokan drakshas apabritan. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. So, Brahma, when he got to know what the Lord wanted him to do, at first Brahma became very worried. He got into a great anxiety. How am I going to such a difficult task? And can you imagine what the task was that was assigned to Brahma? He had to first situate different planetary systems in their respective orbits. That means he had to make huge planets float in the space. And then he had to fill those places with living entities. That means he had to design different types of bodies for living entities according to their mentality, according to their propensity, and ultimately according to their subtle bodies. So Brahma had to assign them different types of gross material bodies. It's a very difficult task. So Brahma began to wonder, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? He prayed to the Lord before that, my Lord, It is you who enables everybody to execute different responsibilities. You empower living entities, and only by devotion to you, one can become qualified. But still Brahma was, although he prayed to the Lord in that way, he was worried, how am I going to do it? So now the Lord is reassuring Brahma. Brahma, don't worry. Don't worry. And here in this particular verse, Krishna is giving the process how to receive Krishna's mercy. And he is talking about two things. One is tapaha, and the other is, one is penance and the other is meditation. With bhuyastam tapo atishta, become situated in penance, and in the vidyam chaiva madashrayam, vidyam, become situated in knowledge and become situated under my protection, madashrayam. That means, so what is actually penance? Does penance mean to lie in a bed of nails, or sit in the middle of fire, or pinch your body sharp objects? People do things like that. Especially in India, we see people are performing penances, so-called penances. I would say that these are not real penances. They are the so-called penances. Inflicting different types of austerity, different types of sufferings to the body. Lie in a bed of nails. We see sometimes when you go to places like Benares and Haridwar, we see people are performing this kind of penance. Sharp nails, they're lying in that. In the middle of the summer, they light a fire and they sit inside the fire. But these are not the real penance. Prabhupada explains, what is penance? The real penance is to control the flow of our senses from matter to spirit. Control it from its flow from matter and project it onto spirit. So that is the real penance. Generally, our senses have a tendency to go towards the material direction. Dhayate vishayan punksha. Dhayate vishayan punksha. The senses have a tendency to go towards, run towards, or drag our consciousness towards vishaya. Vishaya means the objects of the senses. Dhayate vishayan punksha. Our tendency is to be dragged by our senses and run towards the object of senses. Oh, there is a beautiful object, so now let me enjoy it. There is a beautiful facility for comfort, let me try to get it. So these are the natural tendencies of the senses. And it has been described in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained what is the consequence of that. Dhayate vishayan punksha sangaste supajayat. As a result of that, we develop our attachments. Sangat sangjayate kama. Due to that attachment or due to that desire to enjoy those objects, we develop lust. Lust. Sangat sangjayate kama, then kamat krodho bhijayate. When the lust is unfulfilled, naturally, lust is never fulfilled. The desire to enjoy this material nature will never be fulfilled. As a result of that, there will be anger, krodhat, and then due to anger, krodhat bhavati sammoha. Due to anger, one will become bewildered. Sammoha smriti vibhrama. Due to bewilderment, he will lose his memory. And smriti bhrangshat buddhi nasha, as a result of losing his memory, he will his intelligence will be finished, destroyed. Buddhinasha. And buddhinashat pranashyati. As a result of losing his intelligence, he will be doomed. Pranashyati. But there is the other way. The other way is tapaha. We remember that what happened to Brahma. Brahma tried to find out his origin and find out everything by his external endeavor. Brahma climbed down the stem of the lotus, the stalk of the lotus, and he came to went to quite deep down. But still, Brahma couldn't find the bottom. That means by our external endeavor, we'll never be able to understand our origin. We'll never be able to understand our real identity. We'll never be understand our real responsibility. If Brahma couldn't do that, what is our chance? Brahma couldn't by his external endeavor. Therefore, Brahma became frustrated, Brahma became completely disappointed, and in total anxiety he got up and started to wonder, what am I going to do now? When my external endeavor for finding out my origin, my identity, my responsibility, I could not. After such endeavor, I could not find out. Then what should I do? So Krishna instructed from the heart of Brahma, through the splashing of the waves. What was the sound that was generated from the splashing of the waves in that ocean of disaster, devastation, ocean of devastation? What was the sound?
Tapaha.
And what is the meaning of the word tapaha? What did Brahma understand from this word, from this sound, tapaha? Actually, Krishna instructed Brahma through that sound. Brahma, go within. Go within means withdraw your senses from the objects of the senses and project it internally. And that is the process of meditation. So Brahma did that. Brahma became antarmukhi. Bohirmukhi and antarmukhi. Bohirmukhi means when our face is turned towards the external nature. And antarmukhi is when we project our consciousness internally. Internally means what? Senses, the senses are dragging our consciousness towards the external world. So now we have to reverse the process. The senses will not be allowed to go out. That is the beginning aspect of dhyana, actually, meditation. Pratyahar, withdraw. Withdraw the senses and project it internally. Where is the consciousness coming from? Consciousness is coming from the soul. But what are we doing? What are we doing with our consciousness? We are allowing our consciousness to flow through our senses. What is our state of our consciousness at this point in our material state of existence? Our consciousness is running through the senses. And whatever we perceive through our senses, that is the limit of our consciousness. I am holding this. But what is this that I am holding? With what I am holding? And what am I experiencing? I am holding a material object. With what? My hand. My material, a part of my material body. I am experiencing, I am feeling this object with my senses. So this is... This is how our consciousness is functioning in general condition. But what did Krishna tell Brahma? Don't do that. By doing that, you'll never be able to understand yourself. Withdraw your senses from running towards the objects of the senses. withdraw, project it internally. And viddhaṁ caiva madāśrayaṁ. Depending upon me, become situated in vidyam or transcendental knowledge. Then you will receive my mercy. That is the qualification that Krishna is instructing, that is a way to receive Krishna's favor. O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my mercy, to receive my favor. So when we project internally, then what happens? This projection of internal projection also has different aspects. One is to see the soul, and the other is to see the super soul. The less intelligent yogis, they simply try to see the self, and that is their objective, that is the purpose of their meditation, to see the self. And they do see, some of them do see the self. But just by trying to see the self is not enough. By seeing the self, what will one understand? The understanding will be, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. I am the source of everything. That is called Brahma Sajujya, merging with Brahman realization, or Brahman realization and merging with Brahman. It's true, I am Brahman, I am spiritual. So just recognizing that I am a spiritual entity is not enough. The real understanding is that I am a part and parcel of the Supreme Spiritual Personality. I am Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. But the even higher understanding is Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. That Krishna is the Param Brahma. I am Brahma, but Krishna is the Param Brahma. And who is that Param Brahma? That Param Brahma is perceived in this heart as the Super Soul. So just Brahman realization is not enough. Paramatma realization is even higher than that. But then that Paramatma realization becomes realized through the surrender to the Paramatma. The ultimate realization of Paramatma is by surrendering to the Paramatma. If I am seeing I am a minute Atma and He is the Param Atma, Supreme Atma, what will be my natural tendency? My natural tendency will be to surrender unto Him. And that surrender is the beginning of devotion. This surrender is called Sharanagati. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kori Shaparshad Shiyodham Saho Abhutari Uttunto Durlabhu Prem Koribare Dan Shikhae Sharanagati Bhagavatero. So this Sharanagati is the life and soul of bhakti. Shikhai Sharanagati Bhakutero Pran. And we must remember, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Jibe Daya Kori. He came to give this knowledge of Sharanagati or process of Sharanagati, being very merciful to the living entities. So here we can see that just recognizing the super soul is also not enough. Through proper yoga system, one recognizes, one perceives the super soul, Paramatma realization. So this Paramatma realization is not enough. The real culmination of Paramatma realization is surrendering to that personality. That is the Sharanagati. If we see the Paramatma but don't surrender, then what's the use? Yeah, what happens when one sees the Paramatma, but doesn't surrender. That is another aspect. That is called Paramatma Sajujya. There is Brahma Sajujya, I am Brahman, and there is Paramatma Sajujya. That is, I am Paramatma. I am Paramatma. Now I have become Paramatma myself. I am the super soul of every living entity. And it has been described that this Paramatma Sajujya is even worse than Brahma Sajujya. I am Brahman is tolerable, but I am Paramatma? Well, that's even more dangerous. Because if we feel that I am Paramatma, then where is the possibility of surrendering to that Paramatma? That is why it is very, very important that one becomes situated in a proper disciplic succession, in proper sampradaya. Because it is only through the sampradaya's teaching that we get to know what is the ultimate conclusion of this knowledge. That vidyam, tad vidyam, that Krishna is, vidyam chaiva madashrayam, this vidya is very, very important. And we are fortunate that the vidya that Brahma received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we have access to that vidya, that knowledge. There are lines, they follow that path. You follow this process and you will become Paramatma yourself. But those are very, very dangerous conclusions. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, jibe daya kori, very mercifully, the Lord has given that understanding. Here also, by following this process, you will receive my favor. Krishna is reassuring. This is the way to receive my favor. Surrender unto me. So Brahma saw the Paramatma, saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. But what did Brahma do? Did Brahma think that now I have become the super soul? No. Brahma simply surrendered himself. We can see, what did Brahma do when he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart? Brahma started to offer prayers in a mode of surrender. And when Brahma surrendered, then what happened? The Paramatma became Bhagavan. Paramatma, what is the difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan? The definition of Paramatma? The definition of Paramatma is he is the witness. He's the witness. He's seeing it. He's watching. He's just sitting in the heart, not active. He is seeing how the living entities are acting. And accordingly, he is giving him the result of his actions. He is a witness. And but when there is a surrender, when there is devotion, when there is love, as we can see through Brahma's prayer, that witness who was situated in the heart as the super soul, he became active. He was not just an inactive super soul. So what did the Lord do? Lord started to tell Brahma, Brahma, don't worry. Brahma expressed his heartfelt feelings. And he expressed his anxiety. And the Lord is reciprocating. So this reciprocation of the love of a devotee is the aspect of Bhagavan. When the Lord becomes active, the difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan is that Paramatma is inactive. He is inactive witness. But Bhagavan is active. And more active he becomes, the more wonderful the relationship becomes. Vishnu, we can then from super soul Paramatma we come to Vishnu. He is active. We can see that he is not just sitting there, but he is lying down, and he is breathing, and he is not just a witness. He is the creator of the creating aspect of the entire creation. That is the Vishnu aspect. Then Narayan, he is more active in Vaikuntha. He is more active, but he is not that active. Narayan, he is sitting on his throne. Next to him is Lakshmi Devi, and everyone is offering prayers, everyone is worshipping him, and he is reciprocating. Nanda, Sunanda, how are you doing? Look at this devotee, he is performing such nice dedicated devotion. Just go and bring them here. Or the Lord sometimes smiles, and Lakshmi asks, "My Lord, why are you smiling?" And the Lord says, "Look at that devotee of mine. You see, he is meditating on me. In his meditation, he is offering all kinds of beautiful, delicious foodstuffs to me. And he cooked. In his mind, he is cooking. He got the best kind of rice, best milk, best sugar, best ghee, best raisins, best cashews, best elaiches, and he cooked this sweet rice. In his mind he is cooking it. In his mind he is creating all that. And he created the best fire, and he is boiling that milk and cooking the sweet rice. And then he wanted to check whether the sweet rice was cold enough. But when he put his hand in the sweet rice, he got a blister. His meditation is so involved, he is so involved in his meditation that his meditation is having effect on his gross body. So this is how devoted this devotee is. Then Lakshmi Devi said, "Then bring him here." Then Narayan said, "Okay, Nanda, Sunanda, take the chariot and bring that devotee to me." So there Narayan is active, but then he is not so active. But in Vrindavan he is running, he is playing, he is stealing, he is making fun, he is dancing, and that is the most active aspect of the Supreme Personality of God. The more active he becomes, the more of his Bhagavatya becomes manifest. And that is Krishna. Therefore Krishna is Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Narayan is also Bhagavan, but Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. Because more active he is, in his original identity he is most active. He doesn't sleep at night. During the day he is active. He tends the cows throughout the day with his friends and does all kinds of things, kills all kinds of demons. And then he comes back, everyone is tired, everyone is hungry. So he also comes, he also eats, he also takes his bath. He is bathed by his mother, by the gopis. He is dressed nicely. Then Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and others sit down with him and they take prasad. And after prasad, he is put to rest. He is put to the bed. And Mother Yashoda sings all kinds of wonderful songs to put him to sleep. Mother Yashoda sings lullabies to put Krishna to sleep. And Krishna lies down and he falls asleep. But as soon as Mother Yashoda walks out of the room, he just jumps out of the bed and runs through the window. And he goes to the forest of Vrindavan and he plays in his flute. And hearing the flute, all the gopis, no matter in whatever condition they were in, they just run to meet him. And throughout the night, he plays with the gopis. During the day he plays with the cowherd boys, and at night he plays with the gopis. And in between he has some exchange with Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So that is how active the Supreme Personality of Godhead is in Vrindavan. And that's why Vrindavan is Braja. Braja means moving. It's constantly moving. No static situation. Constantly moving. No? But there is only one thing that doesn't move there. Everything moves there, but one thing doesn't move there. Nahi jatrapi brajati samaya. One thing that doesn't move there is time. See the difference between material nature and spiritual nature. In the material nature, everything is static. The only thing that moves and makes everything move is time. But in the spiritual nature, everything moves, but the thing that doesn't move is time. There, every time is static. Every time is there, eternally present. Time is there, nitya vartaman, eternally present. Whereas material nature, time is moving, and time is making everything to move. Otherwise, nothing would move here. It's the time that makes everything to move. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very kind to His devotees who have completely dedicated themselves. They don't have any desire for sense gratification. They don't have any tendency to enjoy themselves, but they're constantly engaged in giving pleasure to the Supreme Personality of God. And by doing that, they experience an incredible joy. And that joy is not a joy or pleasure of the senses. That joy is the spiritual bliss. That is experienced by the soul. And its effect is there externally also. The joy is experienced inside, by the soul, by the spirit soul. But the external manifestation of the joy is Romancha Kampashu Taranga Bhaja. Romancha. Due to that joy, the hair stand on ends. Due to that joy, the body begins to tremble. Due to that experience of joy, tears flow from the eyes. So these are called ashtashatvik vikar. The eight symptoms of ecstasy. Internally ecstasy is experienced, but externally they manifest in these eight symptoms. So that is how when one becomes engaged in devotional service and becomes simply involved in providing for the Lord's enjoyment, also experiences the joy himself. But that cannot be described or understood by any sensual means, by any material means. How one experiences the joy, materially we will never be able to understand. Only when we experience it ourselves, we will experience what it is. So that is how real the spiritual world is, spiritual life is. Now, there is another aspect to that, like as we discussed here. Like what did we discuss here? That the spiritual process is to withdraw the senses, withdraw the consciousness from the external platform to the internal. Internalization of the consciousness. But then there is another aspect. This aspect was actually not known to them. This aspect became manifest through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this aspect has been properly understood and explained by personalities like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada. And what is that aspect? That aspect is Sankirtan. Sankirtan is using everything in service of Krishna. I do not have to internalize myself as such. I can very much be involved in external activities. But through my activities, if I am catering to the pleasure of Krishna. So that's what is actually happening. No need to sit down and meditate and perform this Ashtanga Yoga to perceive the Super Soul in the heart. This is a step even beyond that. Like, to understand that, we have to understand what will one do when one sees the Paramatma and surrenders himself unto him. When one is situated in Sharanagati platform, then what? After Sharanagati, after surrender, what happens? After surrender comes engagement, active involvement in providing for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To understand this point, we have to go back. Let's go back to Golok Vrindavan. What the residents of Vrindavan are doing. Yes, gopis are there, but what the gopis are doing? They're always making arrangements for Krishna's pleasure. And somebody is making a garland for Krishna, somebody is making a bed for Krishna, somebody is grooming the forest for Krishna, somebody is picking flowers from the forest, somebody is cooking for Krishna, somebody is... So there everybody is engaged in various activities to please Krishna, to give pleasure to Krishna. So that activity, when enacted in this material platform, is called Sankirtan. Whatever you're doing, do it for Krishna. Now when you do that, then what's the difference between a resident of Vrindavan is making arrangement for Krishna and you are doing it here for Krishna? What's the difference? Is there any difference? No. So as a result of that, what is happening? A part of this material nature is transformed into spiritual reality. Then that where devotees are making garlands here for Krishna and the gopis making garland there, there is no difference. It's the same service. Same service. Then the flowers, what are those flowers? Are they material flowers? No, they are spiritualized because they are being engaged in Krishna's service. And that is what is Sankirtan. Sankirtan. Engage everything in Krishna's service. Engage everything in glorifying Krishna. In this world, people have forgotten Krishna. So what is the best way to serve Krishna? Remind everybody about Krishna. And that is Sankirtan. Not only just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or singing collectively, but using everything in the service of Krishna. That is the ultimate Sankirtan. So this way we can see that beyond that platform of devotional service comes the ultimate consideration is the becoming engaged in giving pleasure to Krishna by spreading his glory all over the world. Now when you look at it, then we can see what is more important. Just worship the deities in the temple or going out and spread the glory of the Lord. Yes, worshipping the Lord in the temple is important. When the temple is there, that service is very important. But even more important is to go out and distribute the knowledge of Krishna. Remind everybody about Krishna. Go outside and spread Krishna's glory. Remind them about Krishna so that they also can become engaged in serving Krishna. That is why in this age, more important than aradhana or worship is Sankirtan. Jaggai Sankirtan Prayavir. This has been started by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else ever gave that kind of mercy to the living entities. The highest understanding, highest engagement was to worship the Lord in the temple. Dwapare Paricharjaya. So you can see the gradual development. The first, in the Satyuga, it was dhyan, meditation. The meditation that the Lord is talking about is, that was the process for Satyuga. Then Tretayam Jajate Makho, in Treta Yuga, it is sacrifice. Not just meditation. After meditation, what is coming? Offering me and whatever belongs to me to the Lord. Myself and whatever belongs to me to the Lord. That is the process of sacrifice. Then Dwapare Paricharjaya, I mean Dwapar Yuga, directly serving the Lord in the temple. But Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanad, in the age of Kali, that process is to engage everything in the service of the Lord. Apparently it looks like these are material activities. Oh, look what these Hare Krishna devotees are doing. They are going out and they're selling books. This is not a job of a sadhu. Sadhu should sit in a temple. Better still, sadhu should go to Himalayas and meditate. People cannot relate to that. Why Hare Krishna devotees are doing that? Oh, then what? Look, what did Hare Krishna devotees do? First we saw that they were selling books. Now see, they bought a big property in the city. Big property, costing so many millions of dollars. And there they, what did they do? They set up a restaurant. They started a business. Okay, first they started a restaurant. That was not so bad because it was, after all, they were giving out Krishna prasad. But next, what did they do? See, they opened a boutique. They're getting things from all over and selling them here. And then what did they do? They started a big business here. Now, why all these arrangements? These arrangements are to spread the glory of Krishna all over the world. If the devotees were just sitting, say we built the temple here. If the devotees are just sitting here and doing the puja, will there be much result of that? No. We are seeing. Initially there was some interest, people were coming. Oh, Hare Krishna's ek bada mandir tayar kiya. A manmad ka mandir banaya. Chalo dekhne ko jaye. So initially there was a lot of interest. But that interest faded away gradually. And then, therefore, we had to start this, the preaching program, Bhakti Vriksha program, Namhat program, to attract them. And this is how different arrangements are being made to invite people and motivate them to become Krishna conscious. And it will keep on increasing. Will keep on increasing. Namhat people are coming, Bhakti Pariksha people are coming, or students are BYS, what do you call that? IYF, yeah, ISKCON Youth Forum. Nice young boys, but as they're student, they're engaged in devotional service. But then they pass out, they finish their studies, then they have to go for a job. So we're losing out. These people are just going out, getting jobs outside. And as a result of that, gradually they lose their Krishna consciousness. Therefore, won't it be better if we can create jobs for them? Then they won't have to go out. They can be within. So create jobs for them. Now in order to create jobs for them, we have to set up business. Fine. Set up businesses. These boys can be engaged. And the profit can be used in Krishna service. So this is what Sankirtan is. using everything in the service of the Lord, using everything in order to glorify the Lord. And this spirit has been established by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then it has been furthered by Srila Prabhupada. Bhakti Vinod Thakur planted the seed. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave it a shape, and Srila Prabhupada made it a reality. And now, as Prabhupada's followers, what should you do? Should you go to the sit in the temple and ring the bell and have a picnic? No. We have to take up the spirit of Srila Prabhupada and spread this movement all over the world. And that is the meaning of becoming a true follower of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada was not sitting in Vrindavan and doing Nirjan Bhajan. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to go to New York. So this is an indication of Prabhupada's mood. Well, everybody was thinking, oh, I'll just stay in Vrindavan and get my Siddha Deha. Prabhupada left Vrindavan to give the whole world, the living entities of the whole world, to get their Siddha Dehas. He didn't care for his own Siddha Deha. He didn't care for his own perfection. And that is the ultimate perfection. Make others perfect. Give them the pure devotional service. And in this way, deliver the world. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare Hare. Yes, any question? Yes.
This material world or this universe is limited. So why Brahma, he could not find the end of this universe?
Your material world also is not limited. Material world is also unlimited. Just consider, what is the material world? Material world is consisting of the universes from the body of Brahma, right? And these universes are generated even from the pores of Brahma's body. Pores of Mahavishnu's body, right? Body of Mahavishnu. Now, is Mahavishnu's body limited? So, is the universe coming out of Mahavishnu's body limited? Therefore, material nature also is unlimited. Hare Krishna. Yes.
So my first question is from Deepak Prabhu, from Pune. Lord Brahma entered the hall of lotus and divided it into three divisions, that is the three worlds, and then into 14 divisions, that is the 14th planetary system. So did Brahma create his own residence, that is Brahmaloka? Please guide.
Yeah, Brahma had to. Brahma's residence was created by the Lord himself. The lotus where Brahma was sitting, that is Brahma's residence, the topmost region of this universe. But below, in the stalk of the universe, in the stalk of that lotus, there are 14 planetary systems. Of this 14 planetary system, the topmost is Sataloka, the resident of Brahma. But below that, there are other lokas. Below Sataloka is Tapaloka, then Janaloka, then Maharloka, then Swarloka, and then comes Bhurloka. So the Bhurloka is the middle planetary system. And then there are lower planetary systems, the other seven planetary systems, Tal, Atal, Sutal, Bital, Mahatal, Rasatal, Patal. So these are So Brahma had his position, but then of course as Brahma's associates came, they got their places also. But the original place was, yes, Brahma. Brahma's abode, Brahma's residence, or Brahma's situation, place of situation, was created by the Lord himself. Alright, Deepak? Anyway, tomorrow when you come, we'll discuss more about it. He's coming tomorrow or today? Yeah. We are looking forward to your coming, Deepak. Hare Krishna.
One more question. From Deepak Prabhu. Is it possible to do bhakti without taking Jnana Marg or without knowing the absolute truth?
Yes. To do bhakti, all you have to do is surrender. In to start bhakti, you have to just have the shraddha that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and you are His eternal servant, so you surrender. And when you surrender to Krishna, then gyan will automatically come, knowledge will automatically come. For that you don't have to go to an university and study the Vedanta. You can, the Vedanta will become manifest in your heart. Tene brahmarida adi kavaye. And this verse also is describing that. Gyanam, which manifested in the heart. Ridi. Tabhyam antar ridi brahman. The transcendental knowledge is manifested in the heart.
Question from Guru Varanga Prabhu. So we can pray to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give us a test for preaching, and will he give us that test unconditionally?
Yeah, actually the test is not only unconditional, but the test is ever increasing. The more you get the taste, the more you want to have it, and the more it increases. Like it's something, you just try something with a little, because you are not sure how it will taste. It may be bitter, it may be sour, it may be sweet, it may be very pungent. You don't know what the taste will be like. So you take a, just how do you take the first thing, first taste? You may take the taste, take it as a little bit in your finger and just touch it in your tongue. And when you touch it, you see how relishable it is. And then what happens? Then you don't take the touch with your finger, you grab it with your hand. Then you get the taste even more. Then you use both hands. And that is what the spiritual life is like. The more the taste you get, the more you want. And because it is unending and your ability to relish it is not limited by your stomach. Like you can relish it, keep on relishing it more and more and more, endlessly.
Second question again from Guru Gurudev. What is our payment? Is it Shraddha or Tapasya or Seva?
What is our payment? What is our pen? Oh, what is our penance?
No, payment.
Payment, yeah. Okay. So our payment is begins with Shraddha and then it is no, there is, then ultimately there is, and when it begins, there is no payment. Then it's an exchange. In love, is there any payment? Do you pay anything in your love? No. You reciprocate love with love. So when you love Krishna, or how do you begin to love Krishna? Because you see how much Krishna loves you. And then you begin to love Him. And then it, Krishna reciprocates by giving you more love. Then you reciprocate with more love. And this is how it keeps on increasing. So there is no payment as such. The beginning aspect is just Shraddha. And then in Vaidhi Bhakti there are different processes as long as you are in the Vaidhi platform. But when you transcend the Vaidhi platform, or sadhana platform, not just Vaidhi, the sadhana platform, then it comes to the Siddha platform. Then in the Siddha platform there is only loving exchange.
Next question from Priyapallavi Mataji. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, can you please elaborate more on how we do not have to internalize but externally, but engage externally in the service of the Lord?
Yes, what are you doing? When you came to, since you came to ISKCON, have you been asked to just sit and meditate in the Lord, of the Lord in the heart, or you have been asked to render more and more service? Prema Pallavi start this Bhakti Vriksha program. Prema Pallavi go to the old age home and make programs with them. Prema Pallavi go to the children's school and create this program for them. So what is happening to you? Prema Pallavi? Are you becoming more and more engaged, more and more active, or are you becoming more and more inactive? If it was just meditation, then you would have become inactive. But this is the opposite to meditation actually. It is spiritual activity, transcendental involvement. That is what Krishna consciousness is. That's what ISKCON is meant for. In Prabhupada's words, service now, samadhi later. Right? So now you serve and then you will see what the samadhi will be like. But the reality actually is your service started beyond your samadhi. You left your samadhi stage behind. Now you are in a transcendental involvement stage.
And one comment from Guru Varanga Prabhu. Thank you for a gorgeous class.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guru Varanga, for your appreciation. And that is the reward for me, that somehow or other I can encourage you to become more and more involved in your devotional service. That is my only business. Yes, Soni, you have a question?
Maharaj, in Brahmasaita, he said that if Krishna is Ishwar Param, and in Bhagavatam, Krishna is to Bhagavan as well. So, Ishwar and Bhagavan is just...
Yeah. Param, not only Ishwar. Ishwara Parama Krishna. Ishwara Parama Krishna. Param Ishwar. Ishwar means controller. Like you are also an Ishwar. Do you know that? You are Ishwar. You are the Ishwar of your home. Right? You are the master. You are the lord. You are the proprietor of your home. Isn't it? So there are many, many Ishwars. Then there is UDA's Ishwar. The chairman of UDA or CEO of UDA. Then Ujjain Ishwar. Then Madhya Pradesh Ishwar. Then Bharat Ishwar. Then Prithvi Ishwar. Then the Brahmandeshwar, Brahma. Then in this way you go beyond, and then ultimately the one who is the Ishwar, and there is no one beyond him, that is the Parameshwar, and that is Krishna. Alright? And Krishna Bhagavan is actually the Parameshwar, is Bhagavan.
One comment and a few questions, Guru Maharaj. This is from Lalita Sharma Mataji. Thank you so much for the class and helping us understanding what Krishna wants. Second question is from Sarvanati Mataji. Please tell Guru Maharaj that all the guests who have also enjoyed the class, and we are celebrating with another kirtan at the UN on March 4th.
Okay, thank you so much, Sharanagati. I received your emails, so I will reply them. And thank you very much for bringing your guests. And please convey my best wishes to all your guests. And tell them that when I go to New York, I'm looking forward to meeting them.
It's a question from Krishnadas Prabhu. Guru Maharaj, what if one feels more inclined internally than externally? Is that okay?
More inclined internally than externally. Yeah, go along with your nature, with your tendency. But always remember that internalization is only a momentary phase. After you internalize, then there will become external involvement. Yes, Murari.
Maharaj, eternal time is which doesn't move. And once Krishna had Shah and Mother Yashoda had put him to bed, and then he leaves, that at night he goes, that has already become past.
Yeah, that is because we are looking at it from our concept of time. It appears to be like that. When you go to the spiritual sky, then there will be another concept of time. We would know what eternal time actually means. Because we do not know what present actually is. You see, our concept of time, in our concept of time, present practically doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's just past and future. It's future. And before we could even say present, P of the present is gone. So what is present? We do not know what present is. Right? It's always gacchati iti jagat. That's why this material nature is called jagat. It's constantly moving, time on time. Whereas in spiritual sky, we don't know what it is like. Right? Like Krishna, yes, Krishna is in bed, Mother Yashoda left the room, and Krishna jumped out of the bed and went. So Krishna was in the bed, that was past, and now that Krishna jumped out of the window, is the present. It's not like that. In the spiritual sky, the time has completely different dimension. That reminds me, Maithili sent me a question a few days ago that she asked that in the spiritual sky everything is conscious, everything is alive, everything is living, everything is a personality. Then what about milk? And when Krishna drinks the milk, or the cowherd boys drink the milk, then what happens to the milk? Again, the answer is we won't understand what it actually means. Do we know what conscious living entity means? Do we really know? Because our consciousness is only limited through our body and senses. But the spiritual consciousness is completely different. Spiritual identity is completely different. Here our identity is in relation to the gross material body. Whereas in spiritual sky the identity is completely different. Like as you were saying, each flower is a living entity. Then the garland is made, and then it becomes Vaijayanti Mala, another personality. So that is how the spiritual world is like. Like the personalities are there, the consciousness is there, but the consciousness do get transformed. From one consciousness, it is merging into another consciousness. Like, unless and until you go to the spiritual sky, will not be able to understand. If we try to understand, then what will it be like? It will be like the frog in the well trying to understand the ocean. His perception is limited to the well. So he will try to see everything in relation to the well. But now, with his well knowledge, can he understand what the ocean is? No. So similarly, with our material understanding, we'll never be able to understand what the spiritual reality is like. Therefore, the best thing is to wait till we go there. Right? When you go there, we'll see it ourselves. We'll see whether we have milk there, or a flower, or Vaijayanti Mala. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Last question from Deepak. When does Lord become more happy? When we serve the Lord or the devotees or serving the purpose of Lord?
Yeah. All are the same. But the lower you go, better it is. Not only serving the devotee of the Lord, when you serve the devotee of the devotee of the Lord, he gets more pleased. When you serve the devotee of the devotee of the devotee of the Lord, he becomes more pleased. So that is how the Lord reciprocates. Because the lower you go, that means the more conviction, more faith, more love you have for Him. Just like an example can be given. You have a friendship with the mother, right? And the mother is favorable to you. But when the mother sees that how much you love her baby, the mother becomes even more pleased. Right? So same is our relationship with Krishna is something like that. You love the person, yes, there is love. But you love the object, the loving object of that person, that love becomes stronger. Yes, you have a question?
Yes. What does surrender actually mean? What is your mentality when you are surrendered to Krishna?
When I am surrendered to Krishna, it means that Krishna, whatever you want, I will do. I do not have any independent way of thinking. Whatever you want.
Okay.
and make me an instrument in your hand and use me in your service. And that is ultimately coming to the point that, my Lord, whether you keep me or kill me, do whatever you want. If you want to kill me, it's fine. That is the real surrender. Whatever you want. Not that, Krishna, I surrendered myself to you. Why are you making me die? Why don't you protect me at a time like this? The Talibans have come with their AK-47. So why don't you... No. Rather, when they come with the AK-47, oh Krishna, you want me to die now? Fine. You can. I'll see that you are actually the doer. You are the doer, the supreme controller. And I'm surrendered to you, whatever you want to do. Like Prahlad Maharaj, you know the anecdote? His father wanted to kill him in so many ways. He was not defending himself. Krishna, whatever you want. And what did Krishna do? So similarly, when you depend upon Krishna, yes, Krishna will protect us. But we shouldn't surrender to Krishna with an expectation that, Krishna, you will protect us. That's why I'm surrendering to you. At a neophyte stage, we may feel that way. But in advanced stages, Krishna, I'm surrendered to you even if you kill me. Because I know that through that death, through that transformation, I'll achieve my perfection.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay, okay, yes.
Which types of senses can feel Lord Krishna?
Which type of senses? Only purified senses. Now our senses are impure. Because they're flowing through our nervous system. This is a bodily senses. But spirit soul also has senses. But they're spiritual senses. But because the senses have been contaminated with the nervous system of this body, we lost our spiritual faculty. With our material senses, we can only perceive matter. Like with our eyes, which is a faculty to see, what can it see now? It can see only the material objects. And that also, those were that are within the light range of violet to red. Beyond that, we don't see. So this is how limited our senses have become. And this is a contaminated sense. We don't see this. What to speak of the soul or spiritual identity? We can't even see our mind. We can't even see air. Right? Although we can feel it, air, breeze is blowing. But can you see it? But when the senses become purified by a devotional service, then we will see Krishna, and also in the light of Krishna we will see different living entities in the spiritual identity. Yes.
Just two comments. One from Deepak Prabhu. Thank you, Maharaj. It was really wonderful hearing you. And the second from Krishna Das Prabhu. Guru Maharaj, I want to personally thank you and all the devotees for broadcasting every evening. It is so very refreshing and enlivening to hear your classes after a long day at mundane work.
Thank you, Krishna Das, Hare Krishna. And thank you, Deepak, and thank you all the viewers. So I look forward to seeing you personally someday. Hare Krishna, and I hope that it won't be too long. It won't be such a long wait, that's what I mean. Yes, I want our meeting should be very long, but I hope that the wait will not be too long. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande, Srila Prabhupada.